Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. The NFL Draft getting underway tonight. The first round taking place. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio. Mike, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Not too much, guys. Just glad it's finally here. We've had every rumor in the world. The 49ers kind of made our day and then ruined our month by trading up to 3 and sparking all this quarterback debate. So I'm just excited to see picks come off the board tonight.
I think you speak for all of us in that regard, my friend. So you brought it up, the 49ers at number 3. A lot of people saying that's where the draft truly begins, with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson expected to be the first two picks in the draft. Do you think that there's actually a decision that San Francisco is trying to make here, or have they known this whole time what direction they're going to go at quarterback at number 3?
I have a feeling they've ultimately known. I think Kyle Shanahan, it seems the love affair with Mac Jones is a real thing. Now, maybe there was some understanding that, all right, they probably had other quarterback plans this offseason. I think that they might have been, a team that, and I have no, reporting on this or anything, but it's just a hunch that this could have been a team that was thinking more about Deshaun Watson seriously at some point this offseason before all the legal issues took him off the table. And so when they made this trade up, it was with an understanding, all right, we probably have a guy we really like, but we've got a time now, we've got a month to kind of make sure, all right, have we done all of the homework that we need to on these guys, get a chance to talk to them in person, since that's been at such a premium this year. We remember that during the season and the post-draft or the postseason process leading up to the draft, there have been so few instances for these teams to get in person with these prospects. And so kicking the tires on them the way they have for maybe players like Justin Fields, that maybe the front office like more, maybe the rest of the scouting department like more before we ultimately find our way home. I think it seems like all roads point to Mac Jones at 3.
So where does the road point to for Jimmy Garoppolo?
You know what? That's a good question. I would guess that's going to be decided after the weekend, depending on if New England gets into the quarterback game. Like, if New England has Justin Fields or someone fall out of the top 10 and into the early teens, I think you could see them move up and take a swing. But if not, and they come out of draft weekend and say, all right, we know we've got Cam on the roster, but San Francisco is going to be looking to get Jimmy off the books. We can probably get him back here at a little bit of a discount, which is the Patriot way to let a guy walk and get paid, or to send a guy away to get paid, and then to bring him back on cheaper than he was getting anywhere else would be a way for them to go. I think if I had to call it right now, though, I could see Jimmy Garoppolo starting the season with the 49ers there, potentially being the starter early on as kind of a bridge program, the way we've seen in the past, Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, something like that.
Mike Golic Jr. on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Mike, obviously the big three wide receivers, Jalen Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, we know, or at least we think we know, what they're going to be at the NFL level and the playmakers that they can be. But wide receiver, everybody talks about how deep it is in this draft. Who are the guys that you like the most behind those guys? We've heard Elijah Moore rumored to the Titans here at 22, Rashad Bateman on the table as well, Kadarius Toney out of Florida. Who are the guys you like the most outside of those big three at wide receiver?
Yeah, you just said two of the names, Rashad Bateman and Elijah Moore. I just think, especially now, and I've seen people say this, I think it's an irresponsible cop to compare anyone to Tyreek Hill and what he's able to do. The guy's just different. He's off in his own category. But if we talk about in the modern NFL, having these sort of jack-of-all-trades, gadget players, guys you can use around as a move guy, give carries to out of the backfield, Elijah is a fascinating look at that. Lane Kiffin, we know the video game offense that he's running at Ole Miss. We know Elijah's a little bit undersized, but explosive when you get the ball in his hands, can make incredible cuts at full speed. I think he's fantastic. And then Rashad Bateman, we know that last year was kind of an interesting roller coaster ride for him, opting out, then opting back in, and then opting out again. But every time I turn on the tape, I see big, I see fast, and I see a guy who is making great run after the catch plays that helped elevate that Minnesota offense a ton in 2019 when they had their great season. And so I like both your guys. I mean, it's a flavor of ice cream thing. It's Are you looking for a bigger receiver? Would you like a slot guy like Elijah who you can use in a couple of different roles? But I think those two guys will be the next ones off the board once we get past this upper crust.
Mike, what do you think of the top of the edge class here? Obviously, no dominant guy. Whenever there's a guy like that, he goes very, very early. Some good players, some questions about all of them. How do you assess that group?
Yeah, it's complicated, right? I think that if it weren't for the injury worries surrounding Jalen Phillips out of Miami, and we know, his history with concussions that unfortunately, almost cost him his career when he was at UCLA before heading to Miami and having the production that he did. He looks the part most of any edge rusher in this class. Greg Rousseau, who's his teammate at Miami, who opted out for this season, could certainly be in that vein. But I think Jalen, in addition to the production, there was a little bit more consistency technically from him on the edge. But that being said, I think all of those questions surrounding those guys from an injury standpoint or from an overall fit standpoint, Quiddy Pay probably becomes the one that comes first off the board just because I think NFL teams are addicted to ability that I can mold. And you had a 250-pound member of the 4x100 relay when he was in high school, played all over the line at Michigan this last year. It's super flexible, super strong, like all of these things that don't have a ton of polish. There wasn't a ton of production, but a lack of production never stopped NFL teams from looking at edge talent and saying, maybe we can make something out of this.
Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Mike, the Titans, obviously, when you get rid of Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler, there's a pretty glaring need at cornerback as well. You wouldn't expect guys like Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn to be available, but Caleb Farley, an interesting name. The injury history, the back concerns there, I think certainly something you have to take into account. But the talent on the field, pretty obvious. If you're a team like the Titans or maybe the Saints that have been rumored to kind of move up and have interest in Caleb Farley, how concerned would you be about those back surgeries that he's had, and how do you kind of balance that with the player that we've seen on tape on the field?
Yeah, I think this year, that's such a complicated evaluation because we didn't have the normal combine process. There was the rechecks, but it's still a situation where you've heard from a number of different teams and personnel involved that the medical evaluations are going to be an incomplete at best. Listen, as someone whose younger brother had a microdiscectomy, played with a lot of guys that had that surgery, it's a bit concerning, but at the same time, it's not something that can't be overcome. I think Tyler Eifert was a teammate of mine that had back surgery akin to that, and that was well before he went on to have breakout seasons with the Bengals. Certainly, the career sample has been incomplete since then, but you get the idea. Top-end production is not something that escapes you after this back surgery. And I think with Caleb, there's so much to like besides that especially in this class, outside of that top flight group of corners, once you probably get past Greg Newsome, who could be the fourth corner off the board in this conversation, it's going to be a place where I don't think you want to be left out of that, especially if you're a team like the Titans, if you're a team like the Saints that's looking to make sure you get a bona fide from this class.
Mike, if you're Atlanta tonight and the top three, go as you expect, what do you do?
I would probably take Kyle Pitts and prosper. That seems like what I've landed on. It's the best of both worlds because Atlanta's going to be going through a bunch of transition. They've talked about trading Julio Jones potentially, or at least taking calls on that. Most of the fan base seems to want to be done with Matt Ryan, but they moved that money around to help free up cap space this year and kind of indicated, we know we're going to have to deal with this contract for at least the next couple of years. I think June of 22 is when they can really even think about getting Matt Ryan off the books. Do you really want a rookie quarterback waiting around that long? I don't know if you do. And so I feel like the nice middle ground to strike is you bring in a weapon like Kyle Pitts. That way, if Julio's there or not, you've got another space alien. You still got him there to pair with Calvin Ridley in an offense that's going to be heavy play action like we've seen from Arthur Smith in Tennessee, and allow him to go get those reps with a veteran quarterback that loves to feed the tight end. And then if you want to move to a rookie quarterback in the next couple of drafts for Atlanta, you've got a player who then would have plenty of great reps under his belt who would be a great security blanket for a rookie quarterback. So I would take Kyle Pitts and prosper. I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta traded back and tried to finagle some things, though, to see if they could get themselves even more draft capital since they got a lot of holes to fill, especially defensively.
Yeah, certainly going to be hard to pass up a guy like Kyle Pitts. Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN Radio has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mike, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. And I think we're all looking forward to some actual picks being made tonight in this draft.
I was going to say, man, let's just hear the chimes and get it on. It's time.
That's right. Absolutely.
Finally.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it, man. Yeah. There Beautiful. We go, Porth.
Music.
Well done. Mike Golic Jr., our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll react a little bit of what Golic had to say there. Also, get into the best and worst case scenarios for the Tennessee Titans tonight in the first round. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The NFL Draft taking place tonight, and make sure you don't miss Nashville's best NFL Draft coverage tonight and tomorrow on 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewing, Apple Collision Centers, FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live beginning at 6 p.m. tonight from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a Ballpark, and tomorrow from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville. I know Ryan Porth very much looking forward to getting out to 3rd and Home tonight. The broadcast will include Mark Howard, Jared Stillman, Teron Davenport, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders as well. So going to be a fun time for some draft coverage tonight.
And they'll have some drink specials, mm-hmm. some of the same specials that they have on Sundays. There will be some Pred Stars tickets that you can register to win before 8 p.m.
That's a big one.
You can register to win a pretty darn cool football, the Derrick Henry 2,000-yard season commemorative football.
That football's great.
So a lot of stuff going on at 3rd and Home.
Make sure you're joining us for that beginning at 6 p.m. tonight for draft coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Right now, taking your thoughts on the draft on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Chris in Nashville text in, "I'm against trading back. The NFL is all about talent. When you drop back, the talent level drops as well." What do you think about that? Holding on 22?
Dropping back can be a great strategy. You got to have both quantity and quality. But I mean, you know, the big question on that whole thing is, can you get a like player, a similar player, a few spots back? I mean, we can go through any draft you want to go through, and I'll find you a whole bunch of second and third round picks that have been way better than first round picks in that draft. And in fact, if you want to just look at John Robinson's history, of his first round picks and his second round picks and his third round picks, he's absolutely done better in the second and third than he has in the first. Yep. So if it was science, if it wasn't an art, then I'd agree with you, but it's not science. It is an art, and that's where if you give yourself more opportunities to screw up, you give yourself more margin for error, I think in the long run you're better off.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon texting in, "If we make one draft trade, how likely would a second trade be?"
I wrote this week about the old down-up.
Yeah, buddy. It
certainly is possible. And again, think about the first draft for John Robinson. He got, of course, he traded the number one overall to the Rams for the, you know, future Hall of Famer, especially now that he's with the Lions, Jared Goff.
Yes.
But that got the Titans at 15. Then they saw who they wanted. They moved up to 8 to get Conklin. So, yes, I do think that's possible. The Titans can get down if someone wants to get into 22. And then you get in the second round, it's like, we got to get, fill in the blank, a corner, a receiver, Joseph Asai from Texas, whoever. Okay, now take that pick, move back up to get him. I think that's certainly possible, Heidi.
So what are the best and worst case scenarios for the Titans tonight? Let's start with the worst case. So, look, nobody knew exactly how it was going to play out last year when you drafted Isaiah Wilson in the first round. That was about as worst case as it gets, as it ended up happening.
No, we didn't know.
We didn't know it at the time.
It seemed just fine at the
Heading
time.
Heading into this draft, just based on the options that could be on the table for the Titans, what do you think the worst case scenario is for the Titans tonight? What do you think generates the harshest reaction from Titans fans tonight?
So, again, so worst case scenario is that they pick crappy players, mm-hmm. and we won't know. Everything is graded right after the draft, but
sure.
No one has a clue. So we're talking worst case of how things would unfold tonight. To me, worst case is one thing is that they don't have an opportunity to trade down Because to me, if they can, I think that that would be beneficial. It would be a departure from what John Robinson has normally done. I think it's a great year for that to happen. So part of the worst-case scenario is that isn't available.
No trade partner.
No trade partner. No one wants to get into 22, or you don't have a good enough deal. And then you're stuck at 22, and you see Pay and Phillips and Ojulari and all those guys go, and Barmore all go, and you see Newsom. And obviously, I mean, Sertan and Horn we expect, but you see Newsom go. You see Farley go. You see Elijah Moore go. And you're sitting there. Is that likely to happen?
No.
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think all those people are going before 21, but we're talking about worst case scenario. And then you're sitting there, and your big board might say Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you may. And if you talk about – you asked about Titans, I mean, that to me would be the one thing that would get people furious. I know some people – like, again, we had Coach Seth Luttrell say, oh, you can't draft an edge, you got to draft a corner. Like, you can't just look at it like – you can't just look at it like by position, right? But I don't think people would be upset unless they take something other than a corner, edge, or receiver.
Or, you know, a Barmore type. Too. Yeah, for sure.
That's true. A Barmore would be a very polarizing pick.
Yeah.
I think a lot of fans would not like that, and I understand that, but I kind of do like that,
yeah.
Actually.
I would too. I think that would be interesting. But to your point, like if they end up with, you know, a Tevin Jenkins in the draft in the first round, that's going to be – it's not going to go very well. But now, he could turn out to be a really good player, and that could end up being a great pick. But the immediate reaction based on the needs this Titans team has, it's not going to go over well with Titans fans.
Right. A year after you drafted an offensive tackle who did nothing. Yeah. And just because of the other needs. But the worst case to me is that you are these guys who seem to fit you. And I know, again, we think, you know, these guys that you want, we think that because of the mock drafts.
Right.
But really the way to say it is these guys that appear to fit you, that appear to fit your needs, be players that would fit your system, be players that would fit in well with the team, if they're all gone and you can't get out of 22.
The best case scenario for the Titans to me is very similar to what played out in our mock draft, and that is you've got, I think, players you feel good about at every position of need available to you at 22. And you've got trade partners as well. To me, that's the best case scenario for the Titans. So, like in our mock draft that we did earlier on the show, at 22, Elijah Moore was available for the Titans, Greg Newsom was available for the Titans, and Azeez Ojulari was available for the Titans as well. I don't know if it's going to play out that way, but to me, that's a pretty good scenario for John Robinson and the Titans. If you get stuck at 22, if I'm the GM, I probably feel good about drafting one of those three guys. But if you can have all those guys available, and you've got some trade partners that you can acquire more picks from behind you, I still think trading down may end up being the way I'd go if I'm the Titans.
Yeah, my best case scenario is that you do trade down.
Yeah.
You do trade down, and you do still get one of those guys wherever you go. So you go back to 28, go back to 30, go back to whatever it is. You trade down, you add a pick in the top 100 to give you a total of 5 in the top 100, and then you still get an Elijah Moore or an Ojulari, a Newsom. It's, you know, whoever they prefer based on their big board. And, you know, there's some great – I've been reading up about the draft. Like, you got, like, the Ravens, the classic story. You got the horizontal board, you got the vertical board. And sometimes they clash, right? Yep. So, the vertical board is straight up, like, best player available. Horizontal is how, you know, your needs.
Yep.
Ozzie Newsome, great anecdote. They had Ed Reed. They had Lito Shepard. Their need was a corner. They absolutely needed a corner, and they basically had the same grade, but they had Reed just ahead of Lito Shepard in the big board. They didn't need a safety. They needed a corner. He took Ed Reed, one of the greatest players of all time.
Worked out pretty well.
And I'm sure there's plenty of stories where it went the other way, but it's an example of stick to your guns. If you believe in your evaluation skills, then stick to that, and in the long haul, you should be better off.
Go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans in truth texting in. The worst case scenario is not to trade down and you pick either Quiddy Pay or Trevor Mooring, the safety out of TCU. I don't think that's going to happen. But you look at the odds. The safety's at like plus 800. I think it's like second or third on the list for the Titans.
Imagine the Titans go like safety, running back, quarterback in their first three picks.
It'd be amazing.
I mean, that would be actually like that would be kind of amazingly awesome.
Yes.
Just the complete meltdown that would ensue.
Christopher on Periscope asked, so do the Titans draft for need or they draft best available in round one with the vertical horizontal board talk?
Well, again, so let's say you have those two, okay, and Najee Harris is there. Well,
probably not draft.
You don't go with the vertical board on that. You can't. You know, so I mean, you have to keep both in mind, and not only that, like you, as John Robinson was talking, you have to keep in mind each position group and how deep it is, and where you are, and where you think you can get player X, player Y, player Z. It's certainly not. I mean, there's a lot of needs, so it's not like Titans are just like, "What's our position of most need? Let's draft that." That would be disastrous to do it that way.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland text in. If you trade down from 22 to 30 and you still get Caleb Farley and a second-round pick, I think that's the ideal situation. That could happen.
Well, if you know that his Skiatika is good, yes.
Yes.
I mean, I don't hate them taking Farley. You may end up with just a great value pick there.
Yeah.
But there's a reason he's falling.
Yeah, it's the Skiatika. All the other back stuff going on.
Skiatika, scary Tika.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst, looking ahead to a big matchup for the Predators coming up on Saturday against the Dallas Stars. That coming up next. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home-gating party. Text the word PREDS to 615-737-1025. That's PREDS to 615-737-1025. Now to enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back with Hal Gill right here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Hal Gill, Predators radio analyst. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in just a few minutes. We did have Predators assistant coach Todd Richards on the show with us earlier. Had some interesting comments about Philip Forsberg. Now, we don't know whether or not he's going to play on Saturday. Todd Richards saying, yep, hope he plays, but don't know what's going to happen on that front at this point. But it does sound like Forsberg is getting close, and I'm not reporting anything here, but my gut feeling tells me if he is close, Forsberg probably going to want to give it to go on Saturday in a big game coming up for the Preds against Dallas.
Game of the year. I would think so, too. If you're an assistant coach and you go on a radio interview and they try to bait you into giving injury news, are you then angry when you hang up the phone?
Maybe. Maybe he's angry at you.
He could be. I'm sorry, Todd. I had to try.
He's handled it really well.
He did.
He says, look, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying. I hope Forsberg plays Saturday. Don't know whether or not he's going to. We feel like he's getting closer.
I forgot to ask him about Fabbro and Carrier.
Yeah, he could have just gone the whole thing.
We got asked, by the way, on Twitter about Fabbro. I get all the timelines mixed up.
I don't know that I've even heard a specific timeline on Fabbro. I'd have to look. There's a lot to keep up with. I'd have to go back and look.
What about Carrier?
Carrier was 3 to 5 weeks, and that feels like that was about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer.
So Fabbro may be more long term.
I don't know.
Because Olivier is another
guy. There's a lot
of
injuries to keep up with.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would agree with you that Forsberg, I'm sure. And, you know, Todd kind of made it sound like, you know, he's getting close, skating and all that stuff. I mean, last week, David Poile kind of made it sound like he's getting closer. But yeah. I'm sure he will be pushing and campaigning hard to be playing Saturday.
And the question is, like, is there any point where Tyler Seguin is going to come play for the Stars? Like, he's been skating for a couple weeks now. It feels like Saturday would be a pretty big deal to get Tyler Seguin back in there, too. What if you had Seguin and Forsberg coming back the same day?
Bring it all back. Let's have the full, you know, let's have the full Monty.
Yeah, could do that.
In hockey terms.
Yeah. I like that. Hopefully nobody has any Skiatika to deal with on Saturday in the game. But look, this is a massive game for the Predators. I think it was interesting to get Duchesne's perspective on it yesterday and also Todd Richards as well. Like, yeah, I mean, things didn't go well Tuesday, and Todd Richards talked about, you know, you played a lot of games as of late. You actually get a chance to practice tomorrow, which maybe doesn't sound like that big a deal. They hadn't done a whole lot of practicing yet this year. I think, you know, it kind of feels like, based on what Todd Richards says, I mean, they didn't do anything yesterday. Doesn't sound like they're going to be on the ice today either. I think that's probably the right call by John Hines. Just get as much rest as you can. Get back on the ice tomorrow, sharpen some things up, and be ready to go for the game on Saturday. But I think 2 days in a row of just staying off the ice, probably a pretty good idea for the Predators.
Yeah, you know, and I reject, you know, fatigue and this crazy schedule as an excuse for, like, what happened Tuesday.
Yeah.
Again, Florida was on a back-to-back. They've all been dealing with basically the same schedule. But I do think it's cause to be a little bit optimistic about what that could mean for the Preds Saturday.
Yeah.
Because they have this time, just get away, unplug mentally and physically, get rest. You know, 3 day rest is a big deal. The Stars tonight are playing Tampa Bay. They've got a massive game before the massive game Saturday with Tampa Bay to try to keep pace, to try to actually draw even with a game in hand if they win tonight. But the Preds should benefit from this break in the schedule, and they certainly needed it.
They did need it, and to your point, the Stars taking on Tampa Bay tonight on the road, that game starting at 6 o'clock tonight. So put on your Tampa Bay Lightning jerseys if you're a Nashville Predators fan. It's interesting. Now every game from here on out for the Stars for the regular season will be on the road. So their road trip begins tonight, and that's one of seven that they've got coming up. Starting in Tampa, then the huge game here on Saturday, taking on Florida next Monday, and then two more against Tampa Bay coming up after that. So this is a rough stretch for the Dallas Stars, and you're hoping that after Carolina took care of business the other night and pretty well handled the Stars 5-1, that Tampa Bay could follow suit. And the good news, if you're a Predators fan, Tampa Bay has still got a lot to play for. I am covering a Florida Panthers and Chicago Blackhawks game tonight for NHL.com, which I'm just thrilled about.
Boom, baby.
That. Really looking forward to that game. And, I mean, look, Florida, they just hung up 7 on the Predators. If that Florida team plays the way they played the other night, they might score 15 goals against Chicago. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Florida looks like tonight. But they're right there, 2 points behind Carolina in this race for the top spot in the division. Tampa Bay technically in third right now with 68 points. So the Lightning still have a lot to play for. That's very good news if you're a Predators fan.
Yes, no doubt. And Tampa Bay and Carolina both still have 7 games left. Now, they both have 2 games at hand on Florida.
Yep.
But Tampa Bay, you know, 3 points back, same number of games played. So it's going deep. And look, if you're like Florida after playing Nashville the other night, what would you rather do? Would you rather play Nashville in the first round, or would you rather play Carolina or Tampa Bay? And there is a real strong reason to be fighting for the one seed. And somehow, if you're the Preds, you hope that, like, it's a battle and then Carolina prevails right before they come to town next weekend.
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting. I mean, that 2-3 is going to be an absolute war in the first round of the playoffs. Whether it's Florida, Tampa Bay, or if Carolina slides down and it's Carolina, Florida, like it's going to be really interesting. So to your point, you know, as good as the Predators have been as of late and the run that they've been on, the Stars as well, I think there's a pretty massive difference if you're a Carolina or a Tampa Bay or a Florida and taking on one of those top 3 teams in the first round and your path to a cup rather than taking on, you know, the Predators. Like you've got to play what's in front of you at some point anyway. But it's probably a little bit easier on the body, a little bit easier on the schedule if you're going through, not having to go through, you know, Tampa Bay taking on Florida in the first round, then taking on Carolina in the second round.
No doubt.
That's a tall task.
Speaking of that, the Colorado-Minnesota first round series. How about one this year? I mean, that the West is just, Vegas has just gone nuts, but my gosh, those teams.
I watched some of that Vegas-Colorado game last night. I mean, you're talking about 2 absolute titans out there playing. I mean, Vegas scored 10 seconds in the game. It was unbelievable. They've won 10 games in a row now. They're clicking on all cylinders. You've got 2 goaltenders there that you feel great about. Colorado's lost 3 in a row, but I mean, this time last week they had won like 12 out of the last 13 or whatever it was. So 2 pretty high level teams in Vegas. Like, we spent so much time talking about, you know, Florida and Tampa Bay and Carolina. I think the 2 best teams in the NHL may be Vegas and Colorado.
And you watch the teams like that play, and of course, there are. I mean, the teams in the Central are really good, but that's what the Preds, you know, have to get through to get where they want it. That, you know, you have to still compare the Preds to that and say, how close are they to that level right now?
Have you spent much time this year watching, like, the Minnesotas and the St. Louis's and the Colorados of the world? Like, now I'm a big hockey guy, obviously, so I watch them some, but I haven't watched a ton of Vegas and Colorado this year. Like, I'm just watching a bunch of Central Division games. I watched that Vegas-Colorado game last night. My goodness, are they good. All of them. Minnesota's good.
Minnesota is probably better than people expect. They could give Vegas or Colorado a run for their money in the first round.
Dean Evason, he's done a heck of a job there. Former coach of the Milwaukee Admirals, now the head coach in Minnesota. He's doing a heck of a job with the Wild in his first year.
Yeah. I mean, they got to be – where are they on the list of surprises in the league
this
year?
They're near the top. I mean, they're third comfortably in that division right now. And that's surprising to me.
That series,
they did blow a game last night to St. Louis and lost that one 4-3 when they were up 3-1. But by and large, they've been pretty good this year. Yeah. A lot of former Predators on that team too.
I mean, Florida's probably
Florida
is probably a bigger surprise than Minnesota, just because
I would say so.
There was a lot of question about Florida going into the year, where Minnesota, you thought maybe they were a playoff team in that division that is pretty weak. It's very top heavy, so. But yeah, Minnesota.
That's probably your top two,
been
right?
Awesome, yeah.
Coming up next, we'll get back into our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. But right now, we've got a pair of Nashville SC tickets to give away coming up for their game on Sunday against Miami. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caller 5 will win tickets to see Nashville SC take on Inter Miami coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Do that now. We'll be right back on Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Titans fans, of these positions of need, which one could you live without being addressed in the first two rounds of the NFL draft? Cornerback, pass rush, or wide receiver? 43% say pass rush, 41% say wide receiver, 16% say cornerback. So this poll question suggesting that of these positions of need, pass rush is the position where Titans fans could live without it the most being selected in the first couple of rounds. What do you think of that? And are you comfortable enough with the additions of DeNico Autry and Bud Dupree that you're that willing to not address it in the first couple of rounds?
Jeremy K. Gover disagrees. Now, wait a minute. Well, we're just talking first round, right?
No, two rounds. First two rounds of the NFL draft.
First two rounds.
Yeah.
God, see, I can't. I think the entire show I've had the poll question wrong in my head. First two rounds. Yeah. I mean, look. You could get an okay player in the third round at the edge, but when you look at the edge group, man.
I feel a lot better about getting a pretty good receiver in the third round than I do a good edge rusher.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. I mean, corner, it's not as deep as receiver. It's deeper than edge.
Yeah.
If you go by what we believe to be the quality of the players based on the evaluations, based on a lot of information, a lot of work, the edge players, like if you can get one, if you're just going to have 22 and 53, I think it'd be a good idea for one of them to be an edge player.
Yeah, I think so too. And also, I mean, I think most people, and I'm kind of surprised that corner is so low here. I mean, you look at the results of the poll question, only 16% saying, yeah, corner is a position I could live without in the first couple of rounds. Like, I get it. I would probably rank cornerback second on that list. But, like, I think there's a good chance. Like, if you get Elijah Moore in the first round, I think there's a good chance you're not taking a corner until the third round because you got to get an edge at some point. Like, I think that absolutely could happen where if it plays out the way that some mock drafts have gone and Elijah Moore is who you end up with, I think there's a really good shot at that point you're not getting a corner until the third round.
I agree. Now, what if you have the same four picks that they have right now and you go receiver, corner, tight end, offensive tackle, and don't address the edge in the first four. I mean, offensive tackle in the first round, obviously we know. Everybody upset about that. But even if the offensive tackle is addressed in the top 100,
right?
I mean, I think you make a strong case to do it.
I think you could too. And look, I mean, you still can, I mean, tight end, you got to factor that in too. Got a tight end you're going to need at some point in the draft. Like, there's a lot of different ways the top 100 could go. That's why if you can trade back and get an extra pick in the top 100, I think you got to really pull the trigger on that if you're the tight end. Now, maybe you can't. I don't know what the compensation would be. Like, if somebody's trying to move, if the Saints are trying to move up from 28 to 22, what are you getting back? Is it going to be a third rounder? Could you get a second rounder back for that? I don't know. I mean, that's going to be interesting to see what would happen there. But if all things are equal, and unless you just absolutely love somebody that's there for you at 22, if I'm John Robinson, I'm doing everything I can do to trade back.
Right. Now, that's the thing. That's always the caveat. Unless there's someone you're like, no way. I got to get this guy, and we can get him here. Or, gosh, I might need to move ahead of the Colts to get this guy that we absolutely have to have. I mean, I don't think that's an ideal scenario because the Titans need quantity and quality out of this draft, but you got to go with your convictions too and who you really believe is going to make a difference for your team. Ben on the text line asked, Joe, if you had to bet your house, who would the Titans pick tonight? Like, if I had to bet my house, for one thing, I would probably bet it wouldn't go the way our mock went. I still think Aziz Ojulari will be gone.
Okay.
So if I'm betting, if you're betting who you think they will pick, who will be available and who they will pick, who would you bet?
I would probably say Greg Newsome, but I don't feel great about it. I think if I had to bet and it had to be I was betting my house, I'd probably say Greg Newsome.
I'd be close on that too. I think I'd probably go Elijah Moore.
Okay.
But I'm right with you on Greg Newsome. And you? And you, sir?
That's tough.
Like, you got to bet your house on this. On who the Titans, who you think, how you think it's going to fall, and who you think they're going to take.
I hate saying Caleb Farley.
But you do.
But Caleb Farley.
Caleb Farley. Okay.
So we all have three different answers, yeah. Which is interesting.
And that Todd McShay's.
Not good news for two of our houses, at least.
And that Todd McShay's mock draft is probably the most likely scenario where they do trade back later in the first round and they could maybe still get Farley.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Robbie. If you get an attractive trade offer to trade back 5 to 10 picks, do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Get that extra pick in the top 100 or even 120. And, you know, that would give you 5 picks in the top 100 to 120 where you can address edge, receiver, corner, tight end, tackle.
Yep.
Or you know, could be two.
Could be two of one.
Two, yeah. A receiver, two a, yeah, corner, but yeah.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in, is there someone that the Titans would trade up just to stop the Colts from drafting? up to like 20 to take something away from the Colts? Maybe.
Let me think. Like,
maybe you love Quiddy Pay?
What would be a Colts need that isn't a Titans need? Is there really one? Because obviously that would be hilarious because then like, you're not even really helping yourself.
Yeah.
Well, look, yeah. They
Colts need a safety? I don't know.
I mean, they both certainly can use help up front. They both can use a corner.
Receiver?
They both can use a receiver. So that's possible. I mean,
in McShay's mock draft, he's got the Colts taking Elijah Moore.
Yeah, so if you're
the Titans.
If you're the Titans and you think they're going to do that and that's your guy,
go up there and get him. Yeah.
It's just at some point you'd like to see John Robinson return to the 2016, move down and get more picks. He hasn't had a massive pick draft in a long time.
I'm excited. I'm just glad it's finally here. NFL mock drafts are over. The NFL actual draft taking place tonight. It's going to be an interesting show tomorrow. I'm fascinated to see what the Titans do here. And, man, if they end up getting an offensive tackle in the first round, this is going to be a spicy show in the morning, man. I can tell you.
What if they trade out of the first round?
What if they do?
Well, then it would.
There'll be no player to speak of.
Yeah.
But it would be good for them.
We could go back to mock drafts.
That's right. We can just mock the second tomorrow.
We could do that.
Maybe so. Maybe that'll end up happening.
If they take a tackle in the first round, I may not show up tomorrow.
Yeah. I think that reaction probably will be a popular one among Titans fans.
But you know what? If you think Tevin Jenkins is going to be the next star tackle in this league and you can't believe he's there at 22,
hey,
you go for you. You go with your vertical board.
That's right. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back tomorrow to break down the NFL draft and the first round. Darren Donick and Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.